Hello and welcome to Disrupting the Degree, the education marketing podcast. I'm Stephen Cleary from Carnival Content with
Zeynep Fayez
and Zeynep Fayez from the Brand Education.
This podcast is all about higher education with industry trends, experts and practical ideas across the student experience, brand and marketing.
In this episode of Disrupting the Degree, we're joined by Dr. Abdul Latif Al Shamsi, President and CEO of Higher Colleges of Technology UAE. Hi, Dr. Al Shamsi. It's great to have you on the podcast. So what is the vision of Higher Colleges of Technology and how do you apply it?
Well, hi, everyone, and thank you for hosting me in this podcast. Well, we think about the vision of Higher Colleges of Technology. We have many different pillars, but what made it more interesting, in fact, is during COVID-19. We all went through, I call it, a double disruptions. We started with the fourth industrial revolution and how do we get the artificial intelligence part of our education system? How do we gather the big data and how do we utilize it more efficiently? And it's been impacting every business sector. Now, when COVID came on us without any introduction, we had to accelerate what we've been advocating for. So it is an opportunity for us in the education sector to move and to implement the ideas that we've been disrupted by the fourth industrial revolution, to make it in action through the COVID-19. So I would look at it, we were fortunate as educators to be able to get more exciting and teaching and learning with the students through the use of technology. We know the Z generation are very excited about the use of technology more and to become more and more part of their day-to-day life. And now when education converted to become more online and many of the activities can be done and it touches the students' interest, I think it really showed us and built more confidence that we can deliver a high quality education through online. So when we go back and talk about the HCT vision, we call it the HCT 4.0 vision. And we introduced that beginning in 2019. And that was simply because of the fourth industrial revolution. And we had three pillars counted into those visions. We are not a traditional academic institution. We think more about employability, about securing jobs for our graduates. And we want to make sure that they are competent with the right skills and competencies to make them really qualified for any job. So We started with a vision, what was very kind of courageous vision, that we are no longer about graduating students. We should think more about graduating companies and how do we convert student projects and ideas to a commercial product and services, and to walk through
student. Very entrepreneurial.
It is indeed. And we and today we are proud that we are having more than 67 companies have graduated from HCT. The second pillar also, because we are the largest higher education institution in UAE, we have 16 campuses with more than 25,000 students. We want to make sure that we provide and cater for every individual. So that's why we had a second pillar, we called it No Emirati Left Behind. So we have all those, our programs we offer, exiting from a diploma, higher diploma to a bachelor, and it looks after every individual interest and their capabilities. And the third pillar, we focus on graduating technical leaders. What do we mean by that? Since we believe on the outcome of our programs should not be pure academics, we couple all of our program with the professional certifications offered by a third party. Mm-hmm. How did we identify them? We identify them through different industrial business sectors, and we say what is the top recognized professional qualification or certification need to be recognized. And that was embedded into our curriculum to ensure all of our graduates, by the time they graduate, they are indeed technical leaders in their field.
Oh, wow. That's really impressive.
Yeah. So do you develop the courses with industry leaders as well?
Absolutely. Today, academia is no longer a standalone entity without working closely with industry. Today, we live in a world very competitive. Things are changing. We have to cope with it's a moving target when it comes to skills and competencies in any job, in any sector.
Yeah.
So we have to cope with that. We don't want to become, sorry, another Kodak if we work alone.
Yeah.
We have to make sure that we get the right industrial partners who can benefit from what we deliver to our students, and they can benefit in tapping onto the resources and the ideas and the innovative ideas of our students. We all believe the Z generation are very bright and very innovative kids. They have different way of thinking. They think out of the box. They have solutions. You don't need to hire a top-notch expert to find a solution in a problem at your business sector. come to the to our campuses, engage with our students. You can come up with many of those great ideas can be implemented. So we try to make it more of a win-win partnership.
That kind of leads on to, like you mentioned, Persona 4.0. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
I said earlier today, we live in a world that's very competitive. And no matter how much we prepare our students with the right skills and competencies, by the time they graduate, things will change.
Yeah.
Why? Because we are being imposed and on us with no introduction about certain type of technologies. We know all about robotics, AI, big data, Internet of Things. So how do we ensure that our graduates are ready for that? That's why we introduced the concept of the Persona 4.0. Persona 4.0 focuses on three type of dimensions, I would say. The digital dimension. So we need to prepare our graduate to be capable of using the technology more easily, kind of equipped with the right skills when it comes to technology in any discipline.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's not exclusive for certain majors. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The other dimension is the professional dimension. So we have the right depth, and that's why we introduced the concept of a professional certifications in every specialization we offer.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be a number of professional certifications, not necessarily one. It gives them up-to-date knowledge. It's based on a training modules. We use it through our relation and partnership with those third-party professional awarding bodies. And the third one is the entrepreneurial. Today, we have to be able to think as entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
Take risks.
Yes.
Think out of the box. It's not necessarily to start up your business only. In any type of a job today, whatever job that you'll be handling. So when we talk about entrepreneurial skills, it's becoming another critical element.
Mm-hmm.
So if we have those three dimensions being built into the curriculum and the contents we deliver to our students, we will be able to graduate the Persona 4.0, that they are ready for the jobs that does not yet exist. And more importantly, they are ready for the future challenges, including like the COVID-19.
Yes, yeah. Definitely.
Yes.
You mentioned the professional awarding bodies that you work alongside. Who are the awarding bodies you work with? And are these quite international as well?
We have about 22 different awarding bodies. I'll give you a good example. For example, with accountant, we are partnering with ACCA,
mm-hmm.
Chartered yeah. Accountants. They are highly known, internationally recognized, and good number of modules being introduced and is being part of our curriculum. So by the time our students graduate, they obtain the foundation of the charter for ACCA. We have the CFA level one. All our finance students, by the time they graduate, they obtain that. We have the PMI, which is a project management. We have the OSHA, which is in health and safety. So in every specialization, we identify those kind of caliber, high caliber, recognized international awarding body, where we sat with them, we learned from their training modules,
mm-hmm.
and we kind of contracted with them to ensure every graduate, it's not an add-on, it's not something extra you do. Every graduate in this specialization, by the time they get a diploma or a bachelor, it is coupled with the professional certification.
Oh, wow.
It just makes so much sense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like a lot of universities do this to a certain extent, but for every single graduate.
And I often find with the the modules that you pair up, because CFA, ACCA, these are really big sort of awarding body names, but it's kind of coupling up the curriculum with a body outside and a specialist within that industry to really make it extra powerful and really get the graduates ready for employment.
Yes, and the challenge, honestly, to be honest with you, is the accrediting bodies. Because when you come with the accreditation, and you know they're like more traditional academicians,
mm-hmm.
but we have to convince them that this is an added value because it's part of the learning outcomes we provide for our students.
Yeah.
However, mm-hmm. we use the contents mm-hmm. related to those professional bodies embedded into our curriculum, and it's to convince them that this is the right way to ensure that our curriculum is continuously up to date by the time they graduate.
Yeah,
that's great.
And what I love about this is that you're putting the student first. Like everything is designed mm-hmm. for the student. Usually universities look the other way. They look at the program and then they design it around the student. But you've designed the entire thing for the student with the outcome in mind. So
mm-hmm.
it's actually fascinating because I haven't seen that as much in higher education.
You know why it is important to look at it from this perspective? Because we all design our curriculum for the next perhaps 4 years by the time they graduate to get that degree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we design our curriculum for the jobs, we don't know how it's going to change in that specific specialization 4 years later.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it is a risk. Now, if you change the curriculum as you go on, you are violating the standards of accreditation and the study program for the student.
Mm-hmm.
The only way to keep up to date is by embedding those modules into the curriculum. Why? For example, I'll give you a simple example. Today, for example, in the project management, they have a project management PMI 6.0.
Mm-hmm.
It's an up-to-date modular related to how to teach students how to do the project management with the new technology. So that is itself, it's continuously updated. So when we say, how do we prepare our graduates for the jobs that does not yet exist or for the skills that we don't know about, that helps you mm-hmm. to achieve that vision.
Yeah.
But otherwise, we will adhere to the traditional academic contents that become more and more obsolete every day pass by the time they graduate.
It's brilliant thinking. You touched on big data and AI, so that's just something I'm really interested in. Have you applied that from the university point of view to supporting students as well in your systems?
Well, one of the things where we are already doing, in fact, is how do we utilize the big data? Today, mm-hmm. we have students' records from their KG. We have students' record and their social media. Mm-hmm. That's all big data. Now, if you have an intelligent AI system that can personalize education for every individual,
yes,
that is the ultimate objective.
Yeah.
Why we are having a curriculum and a program that one size fit all.
Yeah.
we've seen that.
Yeah.
And we've been talking so much about personalizing education. How can we make it more catered for every individual capabilities, needs, ambitious plan, what they want to be in the future? If we have the opportunity today to access this data and to design within a certain framework, of course, with a certain requirements that need to be met, but to customize that study program for that individual, by the time they graduate, they are ready for the jobs that they are capable of. They are excited about the courses that they take during this journey. It makes a huge impact. This is what we are moving toward today.
Yeah, that's revolutionary.
It is. We are using this technology to do that. For example, I mean, in fact, this 2 weeks, we are graduating about 5,000 students, by the way, because we delayed the graduation. We were hoping that COVID will recover by this time. It did not. So we say, let's go virtual. We made all of those certificates are in a blockchain.
Oh, wow.
The students with a QR code, they just put their phone, they go to their certificates. It's the credential, the academic credential, the professional certificates, their transcripts is all posted on a blockchain. And it is accessible from anywhere in the world.
Mm.
You don't need to more anymore to print a transcript and to stamp it that it is authentic.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to worry about forging or changing any in the credentials. It is there in the blockchain system. It is all happening. So those kind of technology, I think we are more, because we are higher colleges of technology, we try to implement as much as we can all these different tools that is available for us today. And again, COVID-19 did us a favor by accelerating implementation of those tools.
It's great to see that you're personalizing the journey from the start.
It's a journey and it is changing, but as long as we have the clear vision that how academia will change, because we are not waiting for the next 50 years, it's the next 5 years.
Yeah.
And absolutely.
If you don't really pioneer and take the lead to change the way we think as an academician and depart from the traditional way or the traditional approach, I strongly believe we will switch off this generation.
Yeah,
we are losing talents.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I agree with that, because I think the system is built years and years and years ago and it isn't fit for the generation right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it probably wasn't even fit for us 10 years ago, but I think it's definitely not fit for the next generation, which is Gen Zs. They will switch off because they're tech savvy. They know what they want. They want things instantly. And if you don't cater to them, they'll just look elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's why when we think about the future of higher education, I strongly believe there are four elements associated with the futures of higher education. It all depends on skills.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We have to think always again and again, 80 to 85% of any job today based on a skill, not knowledge. It's less and less knowledge-based because knowledge is accessible through our fingertips.
Yeah.
So all of our programs should be driven through skill-based and competency-based.
Yeah.
Number two, we graduate students not for a degree, for a lifelong learning. And that's why I use the phrase of a professional learners. Mm-hmm. When students have access to today online through different resources available, it makes them more competent and qualified after graduation to continuously learn and up to date with the new trends and new technologies being imposed on them. Mm-hmm. Number three, we need to think about it is becoming less that one organization should offer a degree. It should be a multi-institutional. We should think more and more about micro-credentials. If I can gain this competency or this skills from somewhere else, and those in that organization, they are more aware or they have more know-how about delivering those kind of skills, why not? And you will be recognized for those micro-credentials that would lead to the big credential. So the multi-institutional focus, we should think differently today than one organization offer everything to the big degree. Mm-hmm. And the last thing also we just talked about is the personalized education. We have to make education flexible, personalized,
yes,
and
accessible.
It caters the needs for any students. Accessible, and this is why, in fact, 3 years ago, I had a conference organized by Lucien, and it was in the US, and I presented the concept of Uber-like education. Classes are available 24/7, anytime, anywhere for our students. And we said, this is an advantage because I know there have been some attempts, but honestly, now is the time to seriously think about that. Why do I need to hire faculty and bring them to the UAE if I can get their expertise while they're still home and use them and utilize them online?
That's absolutely true.
The same thing with the with the students. So that, you know, this whole concept about future education really make us rethink how we design even our campuses. Do we need our campus to be 70-80% of the classrooms where we know and we are confident that we can deliver virtually with a high efficiency? Mm-hmm. So universities will change. It will become more of an open lab space. It's more for a social gather. It's more for hands-on training, workshops, laboratories type of activities, entrepreneurial activities, mm-hmm. project-based learning where students need to gather with their colleagues to discuss some kind of a project and how they can make it. But classes, we're happy to deliver it online. What's wrong with the students having to sit in Starbucks, for example, or with their colleagues or at home, mm-hmm. and they put their headset, they have the faculty right in front of them on an online screen with all the actions and all the interaction that is needed, and to benefit and to learn from that. What's wrong with the students waking up in the morning at 8 o'clock in their pajamas, in their bed, and they just open their laptops?
Well, my students like that.
So it is a convenience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
And that's what leads us to the concept of, we call it the hybrid learning, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. on campus and online. Mm-hmm. And this is what is definitely the 5-10 years to come of education is going to be like.
Because what's the difference between sitting in a lecture theatre of 1,000 people or sitting in your pajamas in your bedroom, listening to the same talk? Because you're not going to have that one-to-one engagement if there's that many people in a large lecture theatre. So, it makes complete sense.
Yeah, I also like the open up the floor to faculty from all over the world, because you can tap into...
We talked about that before, didn't we?
Yeah, and I think that's a great concept, because you can get academics from all over the world specialising in different fields, and you can bring them to your own university and host them and have them share their knowledge. And I think that's incredible, because it hasn't been done right now. You share and collaborate on research, but you don't share and collaborate on teaching, which I think is incredible.
It's important.
Yeah.
I mean, there is guest lecturers. Well, I'm a guest lecturer for my local university, but I don't think it's to that level.
Yeah.
A light bulb moment kind of went on in my head when you were talking Abdullah Adif, you talked about it not just being about this one big degree certificate, about that professional online learning continuously afterwards. Are you thinking of changing how education, like higher education, works completely then into more of a professional continuous development? So lots of short courses that would go throughout someone's career.
We have no choice but to do that. Today, those short courses, for example, Google have launched their own short courses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. We had Facebook a couple of weeks ago talking about their social media course.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So you can, in fact, earn a degree in 6 months rather than 4 years.
Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm.
So true. Yeah.
With the right, with a focus on certain specific skills and competencies needed for that degree. Mm-hmm. And I think this is where it is not an option anymore for traditional academic institutions. We need to think seriously different in offering those professional modular trainings, certifications, micro-credentials, work together collectively to earn those through micro-credentials and maybe by benefiting from others who have more expertise in certain areas and certain skills. And this is what lead to the to the main credential that is in the future is needed. But it's, again, is to emphasize, it's an ongoing process.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In the old days, we used to think, oh, earning a bachelor degree, I'm done with school, it's going to the real life and get busy. It's no longer the case. We learn every day.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's continuous effort. It's a continuous, and if you don't, you'll be stepped out.
Yeah.
You know, you have to cope with the challenge. It's a very competitive world.
It's very getting more competitive.
More and more. But the Z generation, they have that. They have those kind of passion and skills about going online, learning from different sources. You know, they challenge us as a faculty, by the way.
Yeah.
And this is one thing we've done. At the personal level, by the way, last summer, I taught online.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know, I'm the CEO here. We've been advocating for online, how good, how great, how wonderful. But let me see how it works. And let me teach one course, one full course online.
How did you find it?
It's quite a challenge.
It is. Did your students have their webcams on? So I do quite a bit of online teaching, and I find it very difficult when you don't get that instant engagement where they have their webcams off and their microphones muted.
They do that on and off. So it's, but you know what's interesting? Because when you teach face to face, you see a group of students, even if they don't talk, you see their facial interaction.
Yes.
You see how they react to your, you know, to whatever discussion you're throwing to them. But with the online, you feel you speak to yourself in front of a screen.
Yes.
And this is why the pedagogy of teaching with the online is different. It's not easy, by the way.
It's not.
And we have done some good statistics. When we started the online, fully online business back in March because of the pandemic, we'd done a survey among our faculty. We had about 72% of our faculty, they're okay with going online.
Mm-hmm.
2 months later, we got our faculty up to 95%, they're happy with delivering online.
Why get used to it, don't you? Exactly.
They got into more about mastering the online, because the pedagogy online differ from the pedagogy face-to-face.
Mm-hmm.
And how to use the tools that are available online.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And how interactive you make it. How do you engage a student even during the discussion? So it's not one-way communication. And this is what have really improved the outcome of a teaching and learning.
Yeah, definitely.
I feel like I have to pick on the students. sorry if any of them are listening. But one way that's easier, you have all of their names there.
Yeah.
So I literally go through the list of asking them different questions. And to be fair, they do answer. But if you just ask the group, often you'll just be hit with silence. So that's definitely a challenge.
Abdul Latif, what was the course that you delivered online?
It was a fluid mechanics course. Imagine that.
Oh, gosh.
That's an engineering course. I have to use a lot of simulation, by the way.
Yeah.
A lot of videos of the lab videos to explain, because we could not bring students on campus.
Mm-hmm.
We try, and this is where is one of the big challenge we as an applied education institution, we face with the challenge with the hands-on part, mm-hmm. with the practical
yes.
part.
Mm-hmm.
And how can we recover that? Now simulation has been helping us, and certain apps, certain simulations where students can do things with online through those simulators. However, it still gives you, I would say, 60-70%.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you need that hands-on, don't you?
And the hands-on part need to be done on campus. And this is why mm-hmm. when we move forward, we're thinking more about the hybrid mm-hmm. model, where you still need to bring the students on campus. And, you know, with the advantage with the hybrid, look at the excitement of the students when they come on campus.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's different.
They don't have to go there every day. They come there maybe perhaps one or twice a week.
Yeah.
But when they are coming, they're so excited.
Yeah.
They want to meet with their colleagues. They want to do something different. It's not like, you know, I have to go there every day because I have to check that I'm attending.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I am there to attend that lecture, and I cannot get access to that lecture except if I go on campus. So that will really change the model and will make the student really more excited about learning rather than they are pushed to learn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think, you know, when we talk about learning, I recently figured out that we were never taught how to learn. We were only just taught this is what you need to learn and memorize it. You were never taught this is how you learn, or, you know, everybody has a different journey, but we were never really taught, how do you learn, mm-hmm. or how best do you learn? And I think that's something that your modules and something that you're incorporating.
That is a very critical skill itself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, now even we in academia, we're talking about the skills of unlearn.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Unlearning. Unlearning is to move away from a traditional way of approaching things, yeah. and to go with a different way. Those are, when we talk about the skills, this is what we mean by it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those are very critical and to prepare our graduates, our youth, mm-hmm. for the future jobs.
Amazing.
I think that's the perfect place to wrap this episode up on. But Abdul Latif, thank you so much. That was so insightful. And I just really like your attitude towards like the pandemic actually pushing things forward, because obviously it wasn't a great time for many reasons, but through technology and through innovation, it has been really quite an exciting time. So I definitely want to keep an eye on you, and hopefully maybe you to come back on the podcast
definitely.
In 6 months time or so, just to see where you are, and hopefully we'll be outside of the pandemic and things will be really pushing forward for you then as well.
Yeah, you've been an absolute pleasure to have on.
I've had so many light bulb moments just by you talking, and I've been excited by your vision.
Yeah.
So I'm like, wow, this is the university of the future. Definitely. That we talk about that.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Stephen. Thank you, Zainab. Thank you, Dina. I really enjoyed this talk, and we will carry on for the next podcast.
It sounds
absolutely
good.
Sounds amazing.
Brilliant.
Thank you so much.
In next week's episode, we're joined by Colette Lux, Executive Director of Communications and Marketing at UCL. We'll be discussing how UCL built their brand into a world leader. If you like what you're hearing, it would mean a lot to us if you'd subscribe. Disrupting the Degree is brought to you by the Brand Education and Carnival Content.